Can everybody hear me now?
Excellent. Good.
The problem is, this phone's on. Go.
Go, right, okay. Waiting passively, which is the theme that Tom has asked me to share with you today. And
keep going, Andy, keep going.
And the first thing we ought to be doing, I hope, if the technology allows, is to play the second part of the video sequence that we saw last week. Her parents over Christmas, I believe, and last week I can't remember the guy's name, but he had quite an interesting interaction in the summer house, and at this point now he's really keen to share it with his fiancée.
We make our plans, but in the end, life is
magic of technology. Well, as far as waiting passively, I think in that clip we see the shock that comes to us sometimes when we realise that... am I still alive? Yeah, good. Realise that we have to wait for something that we have little or no control over. Something unexpected. Possibly welcome, but possibly not. And Tom was telling us last week about waiting actively, and he was focusing specifically on actively seeking the kingdom. But there are times when we have to wait passively, when we really do have no control over what's going to happen. We have to strive, not abide. So in seeking my thoughts about waiting passively, I first was contemplating is, well, what is waiting? I think there are a couple of different aspects to waiting. The first one is that we're waiting for an outcome. We're waiting to see something happen. And then secondly, there's the expectation or hope about what will happen. What will the outcome be? Now, I have to give due credence to my friend Mr. Google for helping me to prepare some of this. Because he's much quicker at riffling through all the material there is on the internet than I am. But I did come across one thing that in the, and I use the American Standard Bible, in the New American Standard Bible, there are two Hebrew words that translated as wait. And one of them, the first one, is expectation, hope. Waiting to see something happen. And the second one is trust. Binding together. Seems a bit strange, but it does actually make some sense. Now, I think we have an expectation about the outcome of something we're waiting for, because we have a trust in someone or something that gives us hope that it will happen. Now, that trust comes when we've built up a relationship. I don't think you can have trust with something or somebody without having some sort of relationship with them. That gives us some substance to the expectation that we have. So why waiting passively? What is it? What are we expecting when we're waiting passively? Well, I think, it surprised me somewhat, because I think, thinking about it, that we do actually wait. I seem to wait, spend a lot of time waiting passively. It doesn't always look like it, mind you. Some of you will know I've been having some dental treatments, root canal work done on my, and it's still going on. It's taking a bit of a time. And I have to wait for the next round of treatment with the dentist. And so I have to wait passively. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't hurry it along. I can't get in and do a bit myself in the meantime. Well, I suppose I could, but no, I don't want to go there. And I wait expectantly, because I have trust. I have trust in the dentist, that she knows what she's doing, that she's been trained properly, and I have trust in her because Sandy and I know her. We've been going to her for 5 years since we've been living here, and we've built up a relationship with her, and she's done pretty good work on our teeth so far, i.e. not done anything at all. And that's the way it should be with dentists, isn't it? But I've built up that relationship. So I know I can wait patiently because I have trust that the outcome will be a good one and it will be improve the health of my teeth. And the second one that came to mind was waiting for trains. I expect all of you are car people, but Sandy and I often take the train, especially to Worcester, because it's a hell of a place to park. And I think inevitably, the train that we catch is always very reliable. It's reliably late. But it's always late by the same amount, so it doesn't really matter. And we've built up a trust in the, in what is it now, West Midlands trains, that they will come, not on time, but they will come eventually. But in the process of waiting for the train, Sandy will get into the shelter on the station and she'll sit down there and she'll relax and chill out and she'll, I don't know, she has a little time of worship and prayer and so on. And I go outside and I pace up and down the platform and I have to look at the display at least once a minute to see if the time has changed. I don't do passive waiting. I really, really don't. I find it quite a challenge. And it's only because I'm scared stiff in the dentist that I don't start pacing up and down there. So how is individuals, well, I've just said that, how we cope with waiting. I'm not very good at it. I don't do laid back very well in my personality. And I was thinking about this yesterday morning while I was walking the dog. And I do a lot of my spiritual exercises and thoughts while I'm walking the dog, because it gives me about an hour in the morning where all I've got to do is bend down, pick a ball up, stand up and throw it, and the dog rushes off after it, and then I can just toddle along and walk. No brain cycles required at all. And I do a lot of thinking then. And yesterday morning was a particularly memorable occasion, because God spoke to me. Now, he does it sometimes, but not very often. And the first thing that came into my mind while I was thinking about things was my school reports. I'm young enough to have had school reports. I think we got past the writing on wax tablets with a stylus, but we were still in the dip pen in the inkwell type of school when I was there. And the school reports were very often can do better. And there might be a satisfactory in there, and that's, I think, about as good as it ever got. And then he said to me, "That's your timely reminder." And that phrase dropped into my mind. I don't know where it came from. It's not a phrase I use very often. Heard it once or twice, not something I use. But can do better is a timely reminder. And then it's strange how the mind goes, isn't it? And they drop these things into you. And then came this is a bit of a sideline, by the way. And then came up something that I remembered that was a very common thing in World War II, a very common strap line. "They also serve who only stand and wait." Okay? Because here there was a time of tremendous trauma and upheaval. And lots of people actively going away and fighting battles and, you know, giving their lives. And there were even more people at home just waiting. They couldn't do anything. All that was being done was being done. They had to wait. And I wondered, well, why, where does that come from? And I discovered that it came from a sonnet by John Milton. Now, if you don't know John Milton, he was a 17th century statesman, a poet and thinker and so on. And it was about 1650, he'd just gone blind and he could no longer see, and it had a big impact, all our lives. I mean, if it happens now, it has a big impact on your life. But you can imagine what it must have been like in the middle of the 17th century. And the sonnet he wrote was about him being blind. And that was the last line in it. "They also serve who only stand and wait. Those who simply wait for his commands also serve him." And it got me thinking, you know, that this must be a really fundamental truth. if it can last 400 years and still be as fresh today as it was when he wrote it. So there's something in that. So why is all of this relevant now? Why the can do better? Why the timely reminder? What is all of this about now? Well, the video is telling a story of the Nativity, but in an updated context. And now we're thinking about Christmas, aren't we? We're talking about Christmas. And Christmas really is about new birth, about God becoming man. It was a miraculous start to a normal human process. Okay, now God could have said, bang, here's Jesus, fully grown, ready to speak to you, off you go. But no, he didn't do that. He kick-started the process miraculously, but he let his creation, the natural world, follow that through. So that right from the very start to the very end of his life, Jesus would have experienced everything that all the rest of us experience. And in that process, Mary played an absolutely vital part. She had to wait passively. She had no choice in the matter. She had an expectation of what would come, yeah? And she had a relationship with God which allowed her to accept the situation. She had trust in God. And she could approach the 39 weeks or whatever is a gestation period. She could approach that with peace in her heart. And that relationship with God allowed her to do that. And that was really my timely reminder that as Mary waited passively and in the process developed a greater relationship with God through his son, so I think God was telling me, I must look at my relationship with him. Yeah, I've got to think about that. This is a busy time of the year, isn't it? And for many of us, buying foods and gifts, travelling and visiting family members, it looms very large in our lives. It takes over almost. And when we've finally eaten all the turkey and we've eaten all the chocolates and we've put away, or in my case usually broken before I put away, all the presents, and then we sit down and we're just about to relax and we realise, oh, we've got the new year to come. Oh dear. The new year is a time when we look forward with good intentions in hope of some changes in our lives, an opportunity to start again, a rebirth if you like. And so we can't sit down and relax. We now have to take that challenge up. Many of us do, don't we? Lots and lots of New Year's resolutions. Oh no, it's good. I was thinking the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but it's yeah, that's it. Yep, that's right. So, as we celebrate the time of God coming to earth as a human, I think that's a time for us to kickstart a change in our relationship with him and with our brothers and sisters. We need to wait passively and, at least for me, patiently. Indeed, I think that of all of this, as we say and wait passively, we can also say we wait patiently. We wait in patient expectation. Well, when we speak to other people, hopefully we give them time and space to say their piece, not to interrupt them. We give them time to say what they want to say and not to push our views on them without listening to them. And that helps us to build up those personal relationships, doesn't it? Personal relationships are extremely important in our lives. We like to build them up, and that helps us to do that. And that gives us a bond of trust with the person we have the relationship with. We can trust them to do things. We can trust what they say. So should we not treat our relationship with God the same way? In the same way, giving him time and space to talk to us. Now, I dug out several scriptures on this. I mean, Lamentations, the Lord is good to those who seek him, the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And in Psalms 27, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 46, something all of you really ought to know, I'm sure you do, be still and know that I am God. It's outside Walwyn Road, outside the entrance to Walwyn Road. There are lots of others, could go on all morning. But for me, the timely reminder, for me the kick-starting, is to give our time to God. I need to put him at the forefront of my life. And I challenge you to see whether that applies to you as well. As we approach Christmas and the new year, let's try to find him some space. Some space to wait on God expectantly. And to renew and build up the relationship we have with him. We want a dialogue with God. For us to speak to him and for him to speak to us. In the prayers we offer up to the Lord, we must give him the time and opportunity to speak to us in reply. And we must not fall into the trap of trying to second guess him. We really mustn't. It's so easy to do. So in this time of Christmas and the New Year, let us wholeheartedly embrace waiting on God. And let us wait passively in the hope for the future, in the expectation that God will continue to care for us and guide us, and to continue to build up our relationship of trust with him. Okay. So I'd like you to take that back as a message today. And again, I repeat that as a challenge for you to think about how you can do that in your lives, as I am trying to think about how I can do that in mine. So let us pray. Lord God, in the bustle and busyness of our lives, please remind us of the importance of waiting passively on you, in expectation and in hope. Amen. Right, now, for those of you that are still awake, we are now going into another time of worship with Sean and Caroline.